Louise McSharry on 2FM.
This weekend marks the first weekend of Pride 2021. And that's not all. It also marks the release of Pause Vibe episode 4. Pause Vibe is a podcast for HIV positive people, their friends, family and allies. And we are now joined by hosts Robbie Lawler and Veda Lady. Hello, welcome.
Hello. Hello, Louise, as the song goes. Good to see you.
I'm so happy to be speaking with you guys today. And I suppose what we should start with. Now, to me, Veda, I've been seeing you perform for 15 years. You're just an icon and a star in my eyes. And Robbie, I know that a huge, significant portion of the country saw you on with Tommy Tiernan. But just in case there are people listening who aren't familiar with you guys, give me a little lowdown on who you are. We'll start with you, Veda.
Well, I guess that I'm a cabaret star that's been working in Dublin for several decades at this stage. And I've recently become a HIV activist.
And Robbie?
Yes, so my name is Robbie Lawler, and I was diagnosed with HIV at the age of 21. And back in 2012, when I was diagnosed, there wasn't much talk around HIV, like at all. I didn't know anyone living with HIV. And I just really wanted to kind of change and kind of create a conversation with HIV in Ireland. So I suppose from the age of 22, when I got my act together a little bit, I started becoming a HIV activist. And now I'm working on policy in Europe and in Ireland, and I'm doing a PhD in at the moment. And now I have this lovely podcast with my lovely co-host, Veda.
22 is pretty young to be getting your act together, Robbie. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, I also say HIV is kind of a forced maturity.
Yeah.
Because I was this lovely, carefree young person just going to travel abroad with all my friends. And then suddenly I get this shock diagnosis of something that I didn't even know existed in this country, but I knew was hugely stigmatizing. Mm. And because of that, I really had to like sit down with myself and really just think about like, what life do I want to lead from here on in? And how do I think about myself? You need a huge amount of self-awareness when you live with a stigmatized health condition. You have to really try everything you can to overcome that internalized stigma that society places on us. And because of doing all of that, I've matured from a very young age. And I just wanted to help other people get to the point that I got to, because I had the help of my friends and family to help me get to that stage of self-acceptance.
That's interesting, because Veda, obviously, your experience was a little bit different, wasn't it? It took you longer to get to the point where you felt like you could talk about it.
I'm still trying to mature. And my HIV diagnosis had the opposite effect on me.
Yeah.
And it's actually made me feel somewhat reborn. And innocent and, and very optimistic to start this podcast with Robbie. And I feel like coming out about your HIV diagnosis is a journey in itself.
Mm.
And in just a few weeks since we started doing this, I feel like I'm personally in a different headspace already.
Wow.
Just because of what we're doing. And I want that for other people too.
Yeah, because it took you a long time to, and I thought it was interesting, by the way, listening to you on the podcast using the terminology, the coming out as HIV positive, you know, that's very much the way that you guys speak about it. And it took you a little bit longer, didn't it, Veda?
It took me a long time. It took me a decade to come out about my HIV status, because essentially it was because of all the stigma that we live with in society. And I felt like, as someone who was already a drag queen, gender non-binary, and living quite an alternative lifestyle, that to be HIV positive would have been romantic and social suicide. And I also felt like it would have alienated me from my family at a time when I was just so afraid of that happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, the stigma, because you mentioned it as well, Robbie. And I suppose, you know, maybe some people might think that we've come on leaps and bounds in that regard. But from listening to you both, I don't think maybe that we have.
No, we've come on leaps and bounds in terms of medical advancements of HIV. You know, it's one of the most manageable chronic health conditions there is. But the stigma has been quite stagnant since the 80s and 90s, which is quite hard to believe, because this Saturday is the 40th year since the first case of AIDS was reported in America. And yet we're still here, still trying to overcome the stigma. And what I find is that a lot of the stigma is born out of fear and ignorance.
Yeah.
people, because they don't know about HIV or what it's like to live with HIV or even how HIV is transmitted, of course they're going to fear it. And then for many people, when they hear about HIV, they think of Freddie Mercury or Rock Hudson. But then, of course, when we talk about stigma around HIV, we still have so much hang-ups around shame around sex, around homophobia, transphobia, a lot of racism, classism. There's so many things that, like, add to the stigma of HIV that we have to overcome. But the number one goal and what we're trying to do is kind of just bring the humanity of people living with HIV. We're not just vectors of disease, we're just humans just trying to live our best life, essentially.
And then also, as you mentioned, I mean, the medicine has come on so, like, leaps and bounds. I mean, obviously, you know, we've spoken about it before on the show, but, you know, lots of people who are undetectable, like, you know, are living totally normal lives. Like, I mean, it's medication and that's it. But still that stigma exists. And what do you think we can do about that, Veda? And is that kind of one of the main reasons you wanted to do the podcast?
Well, one of the things that we can do is talk about HIV a hell of a lot more than we do. Because of the stigma, people who are living with HIV tend not to disclose it or not disclose it very much. So we don't have conversations about it. And another thing that we can do is really promote the U equals U message, which is something that just doesn't get out there enough, which is the fact that people who are on effective medication and are HIV positive cannot pass on the virus to anyone else. So as your lover or even as a parent can't pass on the virus to a child. So we're actually some of the safest and certainly the nicest people to have sex with.
Can I ask, is there a special power or feeling that happens when you speak to other people who are HIV positive, Robbie?
Massively. So I've been given peer support, as in, like, I've been going out for coffees or pints just to talk with other people recently diagnosed for years in this country. And by the third conversation, HIV becomes less of a scary thing to live with. And then they just talk about, you know, the jobs they hate or the relationships they're in, you know, and it becomes quite normalized. But the sad thing about it is, like, HIV, as Veda said, you know, Veda was in the closet for 10 years about their status. It can be such an isolating place. And sometimes all we need is a few rants, just a listening ear. I always say the power of a cup of tea is incredible. We should never downplay it, because after you talk about it and you start to make meaning of your situation, and once you verbalize it, it all lessens the power of the fear that you hold so deep inside you. And when people talk to you about the HIV status, they're being very vulnerable. And when people are vulnerable to you, you open up to them and you just create the best bonds. Like, I have the best friends from all the peer support I've done, and I call HIV a blessing in disguise, because these are people who I never would have met without HIV. Now, I'm not endorsing getting HIV. Okay? No one's a chronic health condition. But because I have, I've met a whole community of people, hundreds of people in this country, and I've made the most special relationships because of these gorgeous conversations, opening up conversations.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting to hear you talk in the first episode, Veda, about your own kind of experience and how you said, like, obviously I was going to see you in the George Dune Bingo every week for, like, most of my 20s. And you were this, and are this, you know, force, like, this ball of charisma, this, like, stunning performer. Your drag was different to everybody else's. You had your own thing going on. Like, I would never for a million years have thought that you, there was anything that you were hiding or that you, you know, didn't feel comfortable talking about. I wouldn't have put those two things together. So it was really interesting to hear that you did have this secret. And I also thought it was interesting to hear you talk about what it felt like once you shared it.
Yeah, I think while Robbie was talking, I was thinking about the magpie analogy, when they say one for sorrow and two for joy. And whenever I see a magpie at the moment, I think about the HIV positive people that I've already met because of the podcast, and how hard it can be to deal with something like that on your own, but how great it feels to connect with somebody else and share that. And one of the bad things about being in the closet really is that you don't get a lot of practical advice that a friend could give you. And one of the things that I'm saddest about is that I took a medication called Atripla for most of a decade, that caused me a hell of a lot of sleepless nights and night sweats and anxiety, and really made me difficult to be around sometimes. And had I been hanging out with other HIV positive people, I probably would have been braver about changing my medication. medication, or at least understood better that that wasn't my personality. Mm. That was something that I was suffering, essentially, yeah. but suffering in silence. So I think it's just really important to keep the conversation open. And I might have lost the question somewhere in the answer.
No, you didn't at all. You didn't. It's, you know, I have friends who are HIV positive, friends who are out and friends who are not. And, you know, I worry about the people who aren't out. I worry about, you know, what they're internalizing. You know, and I know myself that when you have a secret shame, and I'm not saying this should be a secret shame, but I know that a lot of people carry it that way. It builds and it gets bigger and bigger, and the shame, it multiplies exponentially. And once you open it up, I have never had an experience where it hasn't diminished significantly or immediately felt better. So that's why I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know, particularly with your journey and in contrast to Robbie's, that, like, I want people who are listening, if anyone's listening who is in doubt, to know that even if they share it with one person or two people, it can be a game changer.
Yeah, exactly that. It's a game changer. And it's also a sledgehammer against stigma. And it's a really powerful thing to do.
Yeah, and I just love how you say, like, I don't want to break stigma. I want to destroy the stigma. And that's what we really need. We need that sledgehammer. And, you know, Louise, I think what you're saying is so true. People need that journey. I'm always interested in what we talk about in the podcast quite a lot is, what's the point where people feel that they can be open about their status? Yeah. Do you know, what's the journey to get to that point? And everyone has a different journey, and I think listening to those stories is important. But for all the allies out there, because we have 2 degrees of separation in Ireland, it's a tiny county, and yet country, and yet there's thousands of us living with HIV.
It's like a county.
Yeah, it's like a county, exactly. Yeah. So you most likely will know of someone living with HIV who can't be out. So you talk about HIV, you bring up in conversation, and you show that you're non-judgmental and that you're informed about it. And maybe you could be that one person mm-hmm. that they could open up to. And as we talk about in the podcast, how transformative that can be. Yeah. If you're going to do anything this Pride Month, of course, there's like loads of women and men, straight and gay, living with HIV. But, you know, the gay and bi men are predominantly affected by HIV in this country. We account mm-hmm. for 50% of diagnosis. For Pride Month, have those conversations. Mm. This is the time. It's always the time. But right now, if you're not having them, you should have them.
That's a really good suggestion, I think. Can I ask, because obviously I'm also conscious of the fact that there might be people listening who are like, yeah, like, that's all well and good, maybe that'd be good and it would feel good to talk about it, but like, there is a stigma, as you guys have said, and so I'm interested to know, have you suffered as a result of being out? You know, have you encountered people who have made you feel less than?
Robbie has often mentioned on the podcast, and it's the truest thing, HIV is the best filter for your life. And anybody who isn't supportive, you know, you just don't need them. They bring nothing to the table. And it's a great feeling just to let them go. Mm. So that's really how I feel about it.
I loved you said on the podcast, People's Judgment, you said, I'm just a mirror. It's not actually about me. I'm just reflecting back on you, whatever it is that's going on inside of you. And I just thought that is so accurate for so many situations. But I can imagine that remembering that is not always the easiest thing.
Well, do you know what we really need to help us remember that? And I love that we're talking about it, is allies. That's what we need. That's what Robbie and I need for the podcast. But it's what all HIV positive people really need. Friends and family who are going to have your back and understand that you've been traumatized and maybe help you get therapy if that's what you need.
Yeah.
But more than anything, empower you yeah. and support you when you do speak out. And that's what we're seeing so much more of. And that's why I'm crying during this interview. I get so proud when I listen to Robbie speak that I cry. I've cried at every single recording we've ever done. And laughed too. I love you, Robbie.
I love you too, Veda. And you break out in song regularly. So like, the podcast is a roller coaster.
Well, for people who, you know, are thinking about listening, it's great because you get Veda and Robbie, and the first episode is them mostly talking about their own experiences and their own stories. But then there are brilliant guests. Animatronic from Scissor Sisters came on.
Yes.
I know you had, you've got Peppermint from Drag Race coming on soon. There's a real
this
assortment
week, it's out
this
now.
Week. Amazing.
Peppermint.
So Irish. Yes. and international guests, and it's very entertaining. I mean, even just from a very basic perspective. But I would highly recommend, you know, as I hope I'm an ally, and if you would consider yourself an ally, it's a great way to inform yourself and to learn about different people's experiences and how you can support people, you know, who you know have HIV and maybe who you don't know have HIV in your life. Thank you so much for giving me your time. Happy Pride. I have had such a great time speaking to you. That's Veda and Robbie Lawler. Best of luck with Paz Vibe.
Thanks so
Louise,
much.
I just want to squeeze you. Kiss you all over.
The George.
The feeling is mutual. We'll have to make up for lost time once it's open again, for sure.
Absolutely. Bingo. Let's go.
Yes. Thank you so much, guys. Louise McSherry on 2FM.